This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The ongoing water crisis in Flint, Michigan is causing national concern about aging infrastructure across the country. After state officials switched the city of Flint's water supply as a cost-saving measure, the new chloride-filled water quickly corroded the city's aging water pipes, leaching lead and other toxins into the city's water. Many factors contributed to the situation in Flint, but the crisis has brought up a lot of questions about the state of infrastructure in local communities. Joining us today to talk about water systems in our area are Mark Johnson, City of La Crosse Utilities Manager, and Dean Olson, Public Works Director for the Village of Holman. And so, you know, let's just start at the beginning and kind of talk about, you know, where each of your communities actually source their water from. You know, where does the water supply come from? And I don't know if, Mark, you want to start?
All of our water comes from wells. So in La Crosse, we have actually 13 active wells that are scattered north to south. But we don't take any water from the river. I think that's what people first would guess, given the river's right next to us. But since the first public water supply, at least the potable water supply, all of our waters come from wells.
Mm-hmm. And why don't we draw water from the river?
Well, you could do that, and there are places further downstream that do, but what you end up doing then is, similar to our wastewater plant, you end up running that surface water source through a full treatment process. And then you still then have to take that water, that treated water, and pump it into the system. So in our case here, we have a great water supply. So we basically are lucky enough where we pump the water out of the ground. We treat it with chlorine and fluoride, add a polyphosphate in some cases, and it goes right out to the system. We don't have to do any further treatment. So we're really blessed with quite a water supply where we sit right now and here.
And Dean, what about Holman?
Holman is very similar to the La Crosse system. We are not as large. We only have four wells. And it is essentially a shallow aquifer, which is about 130 to 150 feet deep, which has an abundant source of good quality water. And like Mark said, yes, you just pump it using your wells to pump it into the system, which pumps it up to the reservoirs, and it's there. Just the addition of, we don't add the polyphosphates. We just have chlorine and fluoride that we add to it, but very similar systems.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like there are any, you know, advantages, specific advantages or disadvantages to this system?
To the system we currently mm-hmm. have? Yes, there are some significant advantages. Like I said, we have essentially shallow wells. There are some wells in communities south of here that are 1,000 feet deep. Well, just the cost to drill a well that deep and maintain a well that deep is significantly more than what we deal with. So just the cost benefit for maintenance and creation of wells. The water quality is significantly better, I think, than the deeper wells. Deeper wells, you probably have been reading recently, where like the Village of Sussex now all of a sudden has developed radium, which is indicative of the deeper well structure. So there are some things that we have to monitor in Holman. We're very close to a farming community. So the shallower wells and the shallower aquifer are subject to nitrates and other farming issues that do affect the water system. So we have to provide additional testing of our water system for that. But we have run into no issues regarding that, and it's a much better situation, I think.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's talk about testing and kind of what you know, each of these communities test for. You said you do additional testing because of the farming presence.
Yes.
So what, you know, what are specifically are you looking for?
The major component is nitrates, because nitrates in the water system can affect pregnant women and unborn children and younger children because it assimilates oxygen. It reacts with the body like oxygen does, but doesn't give you the benefit of the oxygen. We test three of our wells, which are closer to the farming community, for nitrates on a quarterly basis. So every 3 months we test to make sure that we're still under the threshold. Go ahead.
And Mark?
Well, the first thing is that we test whatever DNR tells us to. So very similar. We get a schedule every year, so we have to test. Well, there's different things. Every year there's the nitrates. Every year there's the BACT, the safe samples that we have to do. And then depending on historical information, we have to do VOCs, volatile organic compound testing. Specifically, some of our wells we have to test quarterly, some of them annually, depending on what's shown up in the past. So it kind of drives the one year's result may drive the next year. And then the other thing is on a every 3 year schedule, we do things like inorganics, lead and copper, and that can change year by year. One of the things that we find, any system is going to find, is that the contaminant levels, the what we call MCLs, maximum contaminant levels, continue to drop, and so those tests get more and more accurate. So we're testing to fractional parts per billion. So if there's something there, typically a system's going to find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that obviously, like I mentioned before, the kind of situation in Flint has brought up a lot of concerns with lead testing and water and that presence. So, I mean, if from the sound of what you were just talking about, you know, lead testing isn't really something that we're, you know, it's not really an issue here or a problem.
Well, and the thing with lead, at least in this area, is that there is no background. So there, when you pump the water out of the ground, there's going to be little or no measurable lead. And so any system, when you're testing for lead, is going to be looking at how aggressive the water is. So in the case of, well, Flint or anybody else, you're taking samples to see if there's actually lead leaching into the water, typically from, in their case, it was lead service pipes. And so the sampling for lead is actually right in people's houses as compared to out in the system. But you're correct. We haven't had issues. Typically, the every 3 year protocol is for lead and copper. We do get detects, but we don't get exceedances. So we follow the same protocol. Some of the discussion locally, and it's different in the state, is that there are communities that have lead services, and so there are places that have had lead show up as an issue. At least in La Crosse, ours is a very old system. You know, a lot of those lead services come from old systems, but for whatever reason, the oldest water services in La Crosse are primarily galvanized pipe. They did install them with a short section, what we call a gooseneck, a short section of flexible pipe that oftentimes is lead, but it's not enough to impact the lead samples. So it's really system by system.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like La Crosse is kind of set up well opposed to some of the older systems that use lead.
And I've got to believe that in some cases it's almost dumb luck because for whatever reason, the people that put those services in at the time chose galvanized pipe and not lead. But, you know, for a coin flip, it could have been just the opposite.
Mm-hmm. And Dean, what about in Holman? Are there lead pipes in the system there?
As Mark mentioned, the only lead component, and I'm not certain that there are any, but from what I've seen in construction and reconstruction processes, the lead component is just a small section from the main to where the service line takes off, the gooseneck. Similar, like Mark said, every 3 years we're required to do lead and copper testing. And we have select homes that would be indicative of that problem. So we're testing where we would think that the problem would be to try to find it. We just finished our testing this year. And basically, there were actually certain tests that were done at some of the homes where there was no detect of lead, which tells me that the system itself is essentially free of lead. But there are some places where there is a lead component, whether it be from a sweated copper joint with some sort of a lead component there, or, and there are also some of the fittings that have over time, you know, have a lead component in them as well as part of the metal makeup. But we essentially have no problems with lead in our system that we have found.
And how many homes do you test?
We test 20 every 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And what percentage of homes in, like, the community is that?
It's a fairly small percentage. It's probably close to 1%.
Okay.
But as I said, you know, these are homes that are built in a certain period of time or done remodeling in a certain period of time that would be more indicative of something that would show a lead in the testing if there was anything. Holman has a number of very new homes. So the majority of our system is probably within 20 or 25 years of age.
And Mark, how many homes do we test here in La Crosse?
We test 30, and again, it's every 3 years. And Dean's exactly right. The criteria are very specific. So if you're trying to find, and actually the choices are getting fewer and fewer as people upgrade. But as I remember the code, if you go into a house that has new fixtures or new copper piping, you know, they immediately get thrown out just because of the copper material that's in there. So you have to follow that that prescription as far as what the factors are in the places that you can sample. But yeah, we only sample 30, and that's, yeah, I don't even know if it comes up to 1%, but it's the number that we get from the state.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the safety of water systems in western Wisconsin in light of recent problems in Flint, Michigan. We're here with Dean Olson, the Village of Holman's Public Works Director, and Mark Johnson, Utilities Manager for the City of La Crosse. And so you mentioned that the presence of copper pipes might have effect on whether you can test for lead. Why is that?
Well, there's a level of solubility of copper in water. And so if you have if you were going to go in and, say, take a copper test on a house with brand new copper piping, there's probably a much better chance that you would see some elevated level of copper. And especially in this region, I think really what you almost rely on is that with harder water, you'll get a bit of a film of hardness building up and essentially sealing that pipe from the water. So I think that's all taken into consideration with the lead and copper sampling.
And is copper, you know, what kind of issues come with copper in the water? Is that something we should be concerned about, or is that just, you know, what are the effects, I guess?
Oh, boy. I think that it's more related to, I think it's primarily liver damage. I think the liver is one of those things that's susceptible to some of the metals. But I would be the first to say I'm not a doctor, but I believe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And Dean, do you guys test for copper?
Well, when every 3 years, it's essentially the same program where residents will take a sample, and then it will be tested for lead and also for copper. So it's part of the same sampling and testing process as the lead is periodically.
Yeah, and have you had any issues with the copper testing before, or pretty typical levels?
We have not had any exceedances of the limits, and I try to monitor that. We have to notify each of the residents that does a test of what the results are so that they're aware of what is going on with that. I have noticed that some residents on occasion will have maybe a higher level than what they had 3 years previous. But you can you know, we track it every 3 years and see if there's a trend, but there have been no indications that would cause any concerns at this point.
And Mark, how old are the water systems in La Crosse? I know you mentioned that they, you know, they're kind of getting up there in age.
Yes, we, I would say that we have an old system, but I would qualify that. One of the kind of the neat things about this area, you know, we're sitting on about 200 feet of sand and gravel. And what we find is that at least for the mains that were put in that era, 100 years ago, maybe even some older, that the sand really holds up, the pipe really holds up well in the sand. So it's not unusual for us, if we're doing a service repair, otherwise exposing that pipe. Yes, it shows some surface corrosion on the outside, but by and large, a lot of that older pipe is in really good shape. And so older system, yes, but that the age of it is not the only thing that you have to consider. We look at records for main breaks and other system issues in the event of a street project to try to replace, if we need to, those types of sections of pipe. But by and large, it holds up really well. It has held up really well.
And do you think that systems of a similar age in other communities who don't have the advantage of kind of the sandy region, do you think that they might be experiencing kind of a different story?
Absolutely. if you talk to, if you get to the eastern side of the state where the soils change, the soils become much more aggressive, and they deal with lots of problems with main breaks, even from pressure changes and things like that in the system. So it's absolutely the case.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, I've talked with, communities before, people who work in public works in those communities, about, you know, just issues with needing to update, you know, large portions of their systems and having kind of being overwhelmed by that. You know, is that something that is facing La Crosse, or are we kind of set up well where if there does need to be updating of pipes that can be a kind of a small, like a long-term project?
Well, I think many communities are doing that already. So in our case, we typically will look at the city's plan for street replacement, and we will take a look at our historical information. Yes, we look at the age of the pipe. There's a difference in our decision-making process. Say if there's a state trunk highway being done, we'll probably try to replace all of that pipe as part of that project. But on local streets, we'll look at the history. If the pipe does not show that we've had problems, we'll probably leave it alone and we'll just go in and replace the services. One of the interesting things about La Crosse is that some of those soil conditions change the closer you get to the bluffs. So if we get into an area where there's a street project and you're into the more clayey soils and we've had issues, we'll probably replace that pipe. So it really is almost project by project, in some cases almost block by block, but we look at all of that.
And Dean, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of the homes in Holman are newer. And so, you know, does that mean that kind of the age or the state of your, you know, overall system is a little different than La Crosse?
Actually, we're very similar to La Crosse because, once again, we're built on the sand plain out there. And the sand is not as aggressive as some soils, although there are veins of soil that are more aggressive. We have some portions of our community, the downtown, that are not quite as old, I think, as La Crosse, but we still have some areas that are, you know, in excess of 60, 70 years old. But similarly, we typically do not have issues with the corrosion of the pipe, which is more indicative of the heavier clay aggressive soils. So we're, I think, very similar. We do have the advantage that, given the growth that the village has had in the past 20 years and the newer components that were installed as part of that, I would anticipate that our system is going to be in pretty good shape for a number of years.
That's always dangerous to say.
It is.
Knock on some wood.
That's right.
And so, you know, what pipes do the city maintain when looking at, like, residential systems? You know, where does the city kind of cut off in the homeowner's responsibility for a pipe start? Is that, you know, the pipe out to the street, or, you know, kind of how do you navigate that? Mark?
I thought you'd flip a coin. And it's really primarily dictated by the Public Service Commission. So in Wisconsin, the PSC is one of the authorities that we answer to. So for the vast majority of water systems in the state, the utility owns the main, and the section of the water service up to and including what we call the curb box, or there's a shutoff valve, typically near the sidewalk. And from that point then into the house, that becomes the private section of the pipe. There are a few exceptions, as I understand, in the state. How they got in a different situation as far as ownership, I don't know, but the arrangement that I described is primarily pretty standard.
And have there ever been issues of just, you know, lead or whatever that might be, or corrosion in pipes that's actually coming from, like, the residential portion or the private portion of the pipe and not coming from the cities?
I'm not aware of, in La Crosse, any, on the residential side, any lead piping. What we've seen, it's really quite fascinating, is that if you have a building, depending on the water use in the building, basically if you try to push too much water through that pipe, the water will actually eat away the wall of the pipe. It erodes, you know, there's friction between the water and the material of the pipe. We've seen that in some instances, mostly with copper material. But pipe will eventually wear out too. We have seen primarily galvanized services where you'll see pitting and holes, and that's mostly just a function of age. In some cases, it could be a grounding problem. There are still lots of places that ground their electrical services to the water service. That can have an impact on stuff like that. But from the standpoint of you know, things like lead pipe, we just don't see it.
And Dean, you know, what's the situation like in Holman, similar to La Crosse, in that the private piping is also, you know, free of lead or other things?
Well, the one thing that homeowners have the opportunity for, the portion that they are responsible from the shutoff valve into the home, and they can use whatever product they choose. Some use copper, and recently the polyethylene or plastic pipe has been used more often due to price. And I can see where the erosion of that pipe that Mark had mentioned could become an issue in years, but that would be some time before that would happen. But we have a similar situation, you know, the as far as maintenance, we maintain the mains in that short section up to and including the curb box. But what's on the homeowner's side, they have some latitude as long as it meets plumbing code.
Mm-hmm. And how often, you know, do they need to replace that pipe? I mean, is that something that's, like, pretty long-standing or an issue that people should be thinking about?
It's pretty long-term. Depending, once again, getting back to the type of soil. If you have an aggressive soil and you have older galvanized pipe, that would be something I think a homeowner would want to start looking at. Copper pipe is more durable than the galvanized, even in an aggressive soil. But with a sandy soil, I don't know if I could even guess at a life expectancy of that pipe, because it would be long-term.
That's Dean Olson, the Village of Holman's Public Works Director, here with us today to talk about aging water systems in our area. Also joining our conversation is Mark Johnson, City of La Crosse Utilities Manager. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, you know, maybe looking outside of La Crosse and Holman, are either of you familiar with kind of the status of other water systems in Wisconsin? You know, are there systems that are very lead-based and that, you know, maybe need to be thinking about, you know, the future after we seeing this you know, situation in Flint? I don't know, Dean, if you're familiar.
I worked as a consultant for engineering firms in a number of different areas in Wisconsin, primarily in southeastern Wisconsin. Did not get involved with many of the the lead components of the aquifer. I have been exposed to situations. I know that like the city of Waukesha with their current water system and their problem with radium. Those are probably more prevalent in the state of Wisconsin than lead. I am not familiar with lead issues, but I think the radium is probably a more prevalent component.
And how do you deal with a situation of radium? I mean, what kind of steps do you take after you detect that?
Well, radium is typically a natural component that's in the deeper aquifers, and it doesn't necessarily all of a sudden show up. It's just that the concentration increases beyond the permissible threshold. So, and that level is established at, like Mark said, sometimes these levels keep going down and down, and that's what had happened. I think what caused some of the concern recently too. There are few things that people can do. One is by diluting the system with another source so that the concentration is not as high, then it would meet those threshold limits. Some communities have gone through filtration process that helped to remove that from the system. And those are basically the two options that I'm aware of. I know the city of Waukesha is trying to now obtain Lake Michigan water, and I believe that is to help dilute their system. They're planning to use their system as well.
And Mark, are you familiar with other issues or concerns, you know, maybe outside of La Crosse that, you know, are maybe issues that we need to be looking at in the future?
Well, first off, there are communities that are dealing with lead services. You know, if we're talking a little bit about that, I know that years ago Madison had a program. They had one area specifically where they had a program for people that they participated in to replace those. I think Milwaukee has a major issue with lead services, and probably other communities, again, just depending on the material that was put in. I really think that we're going to see, I know that there are changes, you know, before the broadcast we talked about things, some of the VOCs, the volatile organic contaminants that we see. I know that there are changing limits, MCLs for certain VOCs. I also know that there's ongoing efforts on the part of the EPA for what right now they call unregulated contaminants. So every couple of years, they will go out and have communities take water samples where they're sampling for things on their list of contaminants of interest to see what they're finding. And those are the things that are going to lead to more sampling and more testing and lower limits and all of the above. But I think from the standpoint of what we're going to run into is that the detection technology will continue to get more and more refined, and the research will continue. And so all of that, I think, will lead to, like I said, more sampling and lower limits, no matter what it is.
Mark Johnson, City of La Crosse Utilities Manager, is here with us today to talk about local water systems and the issues that cities face as pipes and other infrastructure grow older. Also joining us today is Dean Olson, the Village of Holman's Public Works Director. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the safety of water systems in the Coulee region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the state of water pipes and other infrastructure in the Coulee region. After the crisis in Flint, Michigan left residents unable to trust the water coming from their own tap, communities across the country started raising questions about their water systems and what the future holds for local utilities. Joining us today to talk about water systems in our area are Mark Johnson, City of La Crosse Utilities Manager, and Dean Olson, Public Works Director for the Village of Holman. What are your immediate concerns for the next few years? I mean, are there any issues, is it with the pipes, you know, or whatever part of the system that you're thinking about, Mark?
Not so much the pipes. We touched on some of the changing regulations. We touched a little bit on specifically a change to VOC contamination. We do have, at least in La Crosse right now, we have a well. The thing that's going to change is the level for trichloroethylene. We do have a well that has detects of that, and that one could be impacted. Some of these other regulations that could change, there's talk about the virus research that's going on that could drive another level of treatment at wells. And what I worry about the most is that in the future, and it could be decades, is that at least in our situation, our well sites are tiny. So we have wells situated on very small lots, and in the event of some of these regulation changes, all of a sudden if you need to add another feature on the site, we just don't have the property. And so that would lead to other changes and other challenges. So The changing regulations, even though there's nothing that's staring us in the face, they're going to come, given our other discussion about the other research and the other work that's going on to find them. So those are things that you just have to try to be prepared for.
And do you think that more testing and testing for different things, and do you think that's a good thing?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think the answer is yes. But the other thing that it's really quite interesting that we as water utilities have to put out an annual report that we send to all of our consumers. And when we first started doing that years ago, I don't get a lot of calls about it, but I actually had a medical doctor call, and we were talking about contaminants and things that show up in water. And what's interesting is he said that whatever is changing, that people are living longer. And so I think that speaks to maybe lifestyle. It probably speaks to the quality of things, including water. And so whatever changes are made probably will just extend that longevity even further. So it's a matter of how the scientists go about identifying the things that we really need to focus on. So that's a long way of saying yes, I guess.
And Dean, what are your immediate concerns for the water system in Holman?
Well, similar to the City of La Crosse, we do have one well that has trace of TCEs. And the maximum contaminant level is 5, and we're below that threshold.
But that's parts per billion, so it's important to keep that level in mind, too.
Yes, parts per billion. No, thank you for that. However, the goal contaminant level that the DNR has put on these different elements or components is 0. So if they had their way, there wouldn't be any. Yeah. So that particular well is of concern for me. We do keep it in a very reserved capacity. We do not use it very often. But in long term, there's obviously going to be a need to ultimately replace that with a new well. That would be, I guess, one of my primary concerns and one of the things that is in the back of my mind as far as our system in general is concerned.
And do you think, I mean, zero seems like a really tough standard. Is that good that we are, you know, keeping it that strict, or is that hard to maintain?
Well, it's impossible to maintain because once a contaminant like this is in the system, it's very difficult to remove completely because not only is it maybe part of the water, but then it leaches onto some of the components of the sand and gravel that we're drawing the water from. So to be able to remove it is pretty much an impossible task. The goal to set it at zero is admirable, but basically that's just going to mean that, no, you can't use that well any longer. In a way, yes, it's a good thing that everybody is looking towards that health benefit and eliminating the adverse impacts of that. But it would be a little difficult to deal with if it were to happen tomorrow.
Right, and so you mentioned that this is, you know, obviously going to be something that takes place in the future and not necessarily a project for tomorrow, but, you know, what is the financial, concerns about having to replace a well in the system?
Wells are not cheap. There's a lot of engineering study that's necessary to figure out where you can put your well, and then some testing, test well process. I have been looking at it, and as I mentioned earlier, since we use a shallow aquifer, obviously well construction here is going to be not as expensive as the deep well projects, but you are still looking, you know, upwards of $1.5-2 million for, you know, just the basic well. So it's an impact to the system that we need to prepare for.
And do you think that's a particular challenge for smaller communities like Coleman?
It's a challenge for any community. Luckily, with large components like this, like wells, reservoirs, there is funding available through the DNR that helps with a lower interest loan to sort of take a little bit of the burden off of the community immediately. It's not you have to come up with the money. You can extend it over a 20-year period, and that helps. But anytime a community needs to come up with $1, $2, or $3 million, it's a definite impact.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the safety of water systems in western Wisconsin in light of recent problems in Flint, Michigan. We're here with Dean Olson, the Village of Holman's Public Works Director, and Mark Johnson, Utilities Manager for the City of La Crosse. And so, Mark, I know that you mentioned that, you know, we use a well system in La Crosse. Are there concerns about the longevity of that system? Is that something that, you know, we're confident is going to be a good resource for a very long time? Or, you know, are there concerns about just the longevity of water resources in this area?
Well, as far as the wells themselves, it's like anything else. They have to be maintained. And like a lot of communities, we have maintenance programs where it's not just the day-to-day checking of things, but actually a program where every so often you actually pull the equipment out of the well casing and inspect and replace and repair and put it back into service. So that's ongoing. Related to the resource, I think what we will see, and it's already happening, is statewide efforts for water conservation. And so regardless of the resource that we have, and we are very lucky here, I think we will see that there will be mandatory water conservation programs regardless of your situation, similar to what Dean mentioned Waukesha. There are places that have put those in almost as a mandatory effort to better use the resource that they have. And part of that actually will equate to even rate structures. So in our case in La Crosse, where we've got right now what's called a declining block structure for water, the more you use, the less you pay. I think what you will see more so across the board is either a flat structure or in some cases even what would be called an inclining block, where you use more, you pay more, all aimed at water conservation.
And Dean, do you think that, we've seen droughts in California and that really raised a lot of awareness about the future of water resources, in our country and really in the world? You know, do you think that do you agree with Mark that that's something we're going to be thinking about in the future, more water conservation efforts?
Well, like Mark said, we are really blessed with the fact that we have an abundant supply of water, but we don't need to waste that. I certainly hope that this region never sees a drought like California has experienced in past years. The resources that we have with, the Mississippi River, the Black River, and how many other rivers that come into this area is indicative of what we have available. And I think everyone is going to have to take a look at conservation to make sure that we don't end up in a situation like that, where I don't ever want to be in a situation where you have to worry about being able to get a drink of water. So many times we take that for granted. And as far as this area, I think we're fairly safe with that. I don't want to jinx myself again by saying something stupid.
Don't say it a third time.
There you go. But there have been recent concerns about more water conservation in looking outside the Cooley region in more central Wisconsin, the Central Sands region, because of high-powered well systems. And that's been a recent conversation amongst lawmakers as well. And is that something that we're looking at as far as, these high-powered wells in ag systems, or is that a conservation concern?
It is a conservation concern, but that goes back to the aquifer that they draw the water from. In central Wisconsin, you have more restrictions in the aquifer that sort of prohibit how much water they can actually draw from it, how much is available there. Once again, we're lucky in this situation. We don't experience that restriction in our aquifer. But the general trend, I think, statewide is to start looking more at scaling back when you can, making a conscious effort of just not wasting water.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the safety of water systems in western Wisconsin in light of recent problems in Flint, Michigan. We're here with Dean Olson, the Village of Holman's Public Works Director, and Mark Johnson, Utilities Manager for the City of La Crosse. And so, I think the probably the biggest question that everybody's been asking themselves since the news kind of broke in Flint is, how likely is that situation to happen in our community? So, Mark, what would you say to those people asking that in La Crosse?
And you're talking specifically about lead?
Yeah.
I don't, I think if we were to see issues with lead, it would have shown up already. So through the testing, now I know that there are changes for the sampling protocol for lead and copper that we will see in the not too distant future, as far as like Dean mentioned, the samples are coming from people's homes, and typically it's what's called first draw, and I think some of those procedural things are going to change. Now whether or not that will result in different results, different levels, we'll have to wait and see, but given the results so far, I don't think we're going to see anything that significant. But it's more so, I think, the actual regulation changes that will be more challenging.
And Dean, I would pose the same question to you. You know, how likely is Holman going to be to, you know, how likely is Holman to see a similar situation?
To Flint, highly improbable. Just going back to the history, Flint was a surface water situation that helped to contribute to their problems. And, you know, this area, communities do not typically use surface water because we use the wells. We monitor, we have wellhead protection programs to help protect the ground above where our source water comes from. And we try to keep track of, you know, who is using that land and what they're using it for. So the protections are in place. Historically, we, and the number of years that the city of La Crosse and the village of Holman have been pulling water from this aquifer, along with all the other communities up and down, you know, the eastern side of the river. I think that we're in good condition, and I really am not seeing anything that's going to significantly impact our system in that way.
And, you know, we were talking about this before with Flint of a situation of them, you know, not treating the water properly, and that kind of contributed to the situation. And I know you mentioned earlier kind of what Holman uses to treat the water, but let's talk a little bit more about, what you guys use to treat the water, and how common is that, you know, the certain chemicals you use?
Well, the chemicals that we use are the chlorination is basically a directive of the DNR. We have to maintain a certain level of chlorine residual in our system as a disinfectant. And we add fluoride for the dental benefit of that. And the village of Holman, that's all we add to our system, and that is injected into the system as the well pumps the water out, and it goes into the system at that point and distributed throughout, you know, to our reservoirs and our pipes.
And Mark, is fluoride treatments, I mean, that's pretty common for pretty much all communities, wouldn't you say?
I think it's very common. It also seems to, it's one of those things where people, there is no middle ground. They either like it or they don't. And so communities typically start that process through a referendum, which is similar to what I think both of our communities did. But the dental industry, the dentists, still very, very strongly support fluoridation as a means for dental health. And certainly, you know, we were talking before, being from La Crosse originally, I know what my teeth are like as compared to what my daughter's teeth are like, and I've got to believe that part of that is related to fluoridation having started in the time period between when I was their age and when they were born.
Mm-hmm. And for those people that are against fluoridation, you know, what are their concerns with adding that to the water system?
And I understand the concern. I think primarily what people don't like is what they would consider to be kind of medication without choice. So we're adding this material, and they have other than filtering to take it out, that it's something that they would not choose to do if they could. And that's what I hear the most, is that it's forcing them to take this, to ingest this material, that it's against their will.
And Dean, do you think that adding fluoride in, and specifically for the people like Mark is talking about who are against it, I mean, do you think that that's a situation of city overstep, or is it in the end doing a public good?
Well, like Mark said, and Holman just recently went through the referendum process. And it was the choice of that referendum to proceed with the fluoridation process. And once again, democracy basically taking over and saying, this is how we go about doing things. I can appreciate people that would rather not have fluoridation added to their water, but I've been privy to a number of discussions with different people, especially over the course of the past 3 years, regarding that. And although there are a lot of people that do not care for it, and some people are extremely in favor of it, like Mark said, there's no middle road. In Holman, I think that people have resolved themselves to the fact, and if they are choosing to not have fluoride, they have implemented some sort of filtration system, or possibly are using, you know, alternate water sources, bottled water or whatever.
We've been talking with Dean Olson, the Village of Holman's Public Works Director, and Mark Johnson, Utilities Manager for the City of La Crosse, about the state of local water systems. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.